Welcome to Voices in Value-Based Care. I'm Matt Fusen. Thanks for tuning in. The movement to value-based care is revolutionizing how healthcare providers get reimbursed for delivery of care. On this program, we explore stories from the field about how real organizations are dealing with this change. You can follow the show on Twitter at hashtag VoicesInVBC and follow SPH on Twitter at SPH Analytics. Excited about our guest today. On the program, we have Dr. Anthony D'Ambrosio, Director of Primary Care and Informatics, and Dr. Kausalya Ramnirish, Independent EHR and Quality Consultant. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you both.
Thanks for having us.
We are very interested in hearing about your work to improve physician documentation as a key component of success in value-based care programs, especially right now with such high clinician burnout. And it's not really one of the topics that always bubbles up to the top of the list when you start talking value-based care, but it really is core fundamental to building it out. But before we jump into that, Dr. D, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Dr. Anthony D'Ambrosio. I am a family med doc. I currently work for Nuvance Health, which was formerly HealthQuest Medical Practice. We've recently merged with Western Connecticut Health System and became Nuvance Health. I originally started being a physician about 10 years ago. I worked for a large physician group for a brief time before coming over to HealthQuest Medical Practice. I then started doing some stuff in quality in our quality committee, which eventually transformed into being the director of quality for the medical practice, which I did for about 4 years with my partner, Kausalya, as the AVP. I then transitioned from the director of quality to the director of primary care and now urgent care. And I also do some informatics for our IT systems, given that I was part of our new EMR transition as we switched from one EMR to another.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Now, Kausalya, it's your turn.
Yeah, my name is Kausalya Ramnirish, and I have over 20 years of healthcare experience, but my route was a little bit different from Dr. D. I cannot handle needles and blood, so I decided to do the administrative route. So I have an extensive background in EMR implementation, quality programs, and using innovative technology to assist physicians with their workflow.
Excellent. Thank you. I have the same aversions to the needles and the blood and all that stuff. I never thought that I did. But as I get older, it seems to get worse. Luckily, my daughter has never had any serious injury that I've had to deal with, or else we might be in trouble. So, Kausalya, tell us about the environment you're working in and how long you've been involved, and we'll start digging into kind of where you've taken the path for physician documentation improvement. But we'll start with the environment first.
Yeah, so I've been working with Nuvance for the last 5 years, and I started with EMRs, with the EMR transition, working closely with physicians, training them, helping them with their quality program requirements as new programs come out. And what I realized is, and more studies actually being conducted on this, is they spend a lot of time clicking buttons and trying to work around the EMR system. Because if you look at it, an EMR system is built, but whenever there's a new requirement, it's a layer and another layer and another layer, and the process never flows as a way of physician workflow.
Right.
So working with multiple physicians, especially with having Dr. D'Ambrosio giving us the insight, I was able to work with him as we transitioned our new EMR system to ease that documentation burden that we were seeing that we had with our previous EMR system. So that's where my, you know, arena has been, because working with them, training them, I saw a lot of the frustration and time that they were spending, you know, before seeing patients and after seeing patients, documenting everything that they've done.
And is that across the health system? Are you acute focused, ambulatory focused?
I've always been ambulatory focused, but I do see the overlap with acute. But my background has always been working with the ambulatory physicians.
Got it. And kind of where is Nuvance from their transition into value-based care? You know, so many, we see the full spectrum of keeping my head down and running fee for service as long as possible, being progressive on the front end. Of course, some of that depends on where you are in the country, right? And the payer mix in your part of the country. Where would you guys be at along that journey?
Right now, the value-based programs we're kind of focusing on are the typical ones are the meaningful use in PQRS, which is now the MIPS. Our primary care is the patient-centered medical home, CPC Plus, HEDIS. So those are the type of programs we're focusing as an organization to see where we can utilize our resource to help us with multiple programs at once. So, for example, a few years ago, Dr. D and I and myself created what we call the Quality Grid, and it was a master document, and we mapped every single program that existed to this grid and showed, okay, where can we utilize our resource and hit one measure that would go across multiple measures? So, for example, I'll give you one, smoking cessation and counseling. That's part of every single CMS program you can think about. So how do we achieve every single one of those programs criteria by utilizing one resource or one workflow? And that's what we did in our brainstorming session. We sat and we created workflows that can cover all arena.
Excellent. And as we talk to people, that is starting to be more and more of an issue. Just the proliferation of programs then leads to a proliferation of measures to meet. And of course, some have variables in them, right? It would be nice if they were all standard, but some's a little tweak here, a little tweak here, a little tweak here. So, but a lot of organizations seem to be on the very front end of what you all have already worked on accomplishing. Have you seen any push from commercial payers yet?
So, I mean, where we are, there hasn't been a major push from commercial payers as far as moving into value-based payment programs where you're at risk. Our CBC Plus program is probably the closest thing that we're coming to as an at-risk program where we get upfront payments that we may have to pay back depending on the cost of our care or depending on our quality performance. But we're really trying to leverage what we're learning in that CBC Plus program to move forward into more value-based contracting with that within the practice itself.
Excellent. Thank you. That's kind of, again, what we're seeing too is commercials are starting to come along, but they're not quite all the way there yet. An interesting primary care first is going to be coming out that just got delayed for a year, but another program similar to CPC Plus where they're trying to pull in commercial payers to work with CMS. So seems to be a model that CMS is going to push harder and harder moving forward. So, Cecilia, what was the primary driver, or were, I should say, the primary drivers for making physician documentation improvement a priority? And I think we covered some of it, right, with your grid. I'm assuming also it was to streamline and also improve the, you know, quality of life, quite frankly, for all the clinicians and providers. Give us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for us, physician burnout is extremely important. And what we notice is our physicians were seeing more patients, which required them to do more documentation in the EMR. And when you don't have happy physicians, you don't really have, you know, happy employees. It's a trickle effect.
And that's right.
Doctors not happy, the front desk staff is not happy, nursing staff is not happy. So, you kind of want to avoid that. So we were seeing that frustration from our physicians. We were seeing that they were overwhelmed with all of the requirements that they had to do. There was always a new medical diagnosis out there. There's always a new journal. How do they balance the new information, their patient load, the requirement from the organization, and the requirement from CMS? Because, you know, if it's not documented, it never happens. And how do we help them with that?
Right.
So that's how we decided to make physician documentation a priority in our organization. Is how can we help our physicians? And by helping our physicians has an actual trickle-down effect with the whole environment and the whole culture.
That's a great point. I never really thought of it that way, but you're right. If you start at the top and make them happy, and then it's going to make everybody else happy as well. Dr. D, from your unique perspective as a physician, tell us a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, documentation and how it's progressed over the years. Have you seen just proliferation and this is now getting to be you know, I'm almost looking at it as a bit of a competitive advantage in the market. If you can keep your physicians happy, you're going to keep more there, right? Attract more. It could be a unique differentiator for you all.
Exactly. Initially, you know, it was all paper. So you would write everything on paper and people had templates and you check boxes and you're done quickly with documentation. With the advent of EMR, which, you know, the original idea was to make our lives easier, have data available, have information from one chart to another, we then had to start reporting out on a lot of different metrics. And, you know, you can't just dictate that into an EMR. In order to report out, you really need to have structured data. And I think that's where a lot of the EMRs struggled, because it became a click fest. All we do is click, 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 click all over the EMR system. And a lot of EMRs didn't have a standard, or still don't have standard places where you just go to take care of all of your quality and all your reporting needs in one place. And so, you know, physicians get trained on multiple workflows that, you know, you can document the same thing in multiple places. And it becomes difficult. Training becomes difficult. And we find that we're spending more and more time documenting in the EMR than talking to our patients. And really, we became physicians to help our patients' health, their well-being. And that's really about creating relationships with your patients. And so we really would love to see documentation a whole lot less than what we currently do, because we want to spend more time with patients. So really, that's the work that we've tried to do, is try to make the EMR work better for us. We've really tried to drive physicians to one place in the EMR for documentation, try to leverage dictation where we can leverage dictation. And, you know, there's lots of stuff out there about pajama time for physicians where, you know, we're seeing patients in the office, but then we're at home for 4 hours doing additional documentation, doing refills and such. And we really, by trying to standardize documentation in the EMR, trying to drive that time down so that we're not spending hours and hours outside of office time doing additional documentation. And the reality of the situation is, with all the different quality programs out there, there are a ton of different requirements, and there are more and more, there's more and more of a reporting burden on physicians and the practices. So we really need to work hard on helping physicians document in an easier way that captures the data that we need and that we can report out on.
Yeah, it makes sense. And, you know, being in the industry myself and getting the opportunity to talk to people like yourselves, and having come from an EHR company, I can appreciate it and look at those numbers and say, yeah, that's not inaccurate. I think, you know, the further you step away from the space, it's like, they're not spending all that time documenting. They're just saying that they're doing it right. And I say, no, unfortunately, that's the reality we have at the moment. So, it is hard for people to believe that you all put in the time that you do, and then you've got to go home and do your documentation. Which leads to my next question. I understand that one of the critical components of the work you're doing is to approach documentation as a team-based activity. Tell us about how you are applying this approach and what response has been from not only, you know, providers and clinicians, but the entire team.
Sure. I mean, we're really trying to look at documentation at multiple points in the EMR. So not everything is documented at a visit. Sometimes you are getting, you know, reports for colonoscopies, for example, from outside providers. Obviously, as a primary care physician, I'm not doing colonoscopies in my office, but it's done elsewhere. And we need to capture that kind of data for reporting. Same thing for mammography screening for breast cancer and pap smears. And what we really did is we leveraged our change in EMR system to standardize workflow in a bunch of different places. So we created a core standard for our EMR for documentation for our providers. And then what we did is we also looked at points of access for data in the system from our front desk to our nursing staff. So in our primary care division, we created a standard intake. And in our intake, there are very specific questions that the nursing staff ask. So they do the screening, are you a smoker? They do initial depression screen on a PHQ-2 for us. They'll do a fall risk screening asking, has the patient fallen in the last, you know, 2 years? They'll ask some social determinants of health questions. And that all builds on the provider's documentation. And really, when the provider's in there, we're following up on all that data that's already collected. And then we document our interventions, and then we really have driven our documentation for reporting to a single space in the EMR where we go, we can click off a bunch of boxes and then dictate the rest. The other point of contact for documentation is really our front staff for that outside documentation. So what we've done is we've put in a standard for how we scan documents into the system. They're scanned as particular mm-hmm. note types, and those note types now count in our recommendation section. So if I get a colonoscopy and it's scanned in the right note type, it pulls it out of the recommendation, and we've mapped our reporting structure from that as well, so that will count in our reporting. So we're really taking into account our front staff, our nursing staff, and physician documentation, trying to get everyone putting in as much information as we can and trying to take some burden off of the provider getting, you know, having to click certain buttons and say, hey, you've had a colonoscopy on this date. If we can do it by a scan document, we try to do that.
Yeah, and one of the components of that actually that's been a positive effect is it's worked for our whole system, so not only for primary care. So the other benefit with that is our specialty now. So our surgeons, our oncologists, our cardiologists are all able to see that information in the same place. So Dr. D, as a primary care physician, when he's using his team-based approach, when the surgeons are going into the EMR to look for that information, they're not shuffling and they're not searching for that information. They're going directly where it is. So it's actually in the use of information and the ease and access of information, it's actually helped a lot of our specialties since we've transitioned our EMR system.
Excellent. That's great to see that kind of network effect, right, starting to take over. Have you been doing this long enough to start seeing positive impact on clinician burnout? Have you start to get feedback on it? Just wondering how far along you are and if you're seeing the results that you're looking for.
Sure. I mean, we really are just finished our EMR conversion and converting all of our workflows over. So it's a little early at this point to see whether we are decreasing physician documentation burden, but we are looking from a perspective of reporting on how we're doing with our, you know, quality reporting. And I know that, you know, with CPC Plus, that's important. The physicians, it's important. But we are still working on tracking physician time in our new EMR system. So more to come on that as we are progress out of our EMR go live.
I like that. That sounds like a future podcast to check back in with you guys and see how it's going.
Absolutely.
Since you brought up the EMR, you know, how is technology being leveraged to help improve your efforts? So I know EMR is a core part of it, but are you leveraging technology in other ways as well?
Sure. I mean, we have a population like health suite that we use, which also does some, which also has a care management platform. So those are overlaid over our EMR system and help pull out information regarding different quality metrics for patients. It also helps our care managers to look at the patients that they're care managing and provide specific interventions for chronic diseases. And we do run registries and such as well out of this technology. And I think what we've kind of, where we used to be dependent on just the EMR system for data, we have other systems in place that we're getting more real-time-ish data. So within 24 hours, we can see, you know, increases or decreases in our quality data with our overlay technology. And I would also say that we're really trying to leverage, you know, our dictation software as well into the EMR system to try to help physicians with their documentation using templates with the dictation software as well to help be able to put in standard kinds of exams, review of systems, which also decreases our documentation burden.
It's kind of crazy how many different layers of technology are in the system now, right? As you said, EHR, and it's massive. But then on top of that, pop health, on top of that, care management, right? It is really crazy the level of IT that is now involved in patient care. When you get it all working properly and aligned, it's awesome, but it takes a little bit of time to get there and a little challenging. What would you say, if I had to ask you, some of the biggest wins and outcomes you've seen so far for documentation improvement? Knowing that you're on the front end of it, but I'll put you on the spot.
I think the biggest win, I mean, for when it comes to our physician documentation initiative, I think standardization. It's what I go back to. One of the challenges that we saw is because we're a multi-specialty organization practice, is when you were looking for information, you can find it. So I'll go back to the example Dr. D'Ambrosio was talking about, colonoscopy and mammogram. There were 6 different places to document that information. Try being a physician searching 6 different places looking for that one information. By standardizing it and by with our new EMR system, you always looked one place. You didn't have to look at 6 different places. And another big win is we did not have multiple places to document one point of entry, one point of contact. We eliminated all of that and only created one. And that's how we were able to, you know, improve the documentation. And again, less time the physician spent shuffling through the EMR, more time they were able to spend with the patient. And that's what, at the end of the day, we wanted. We wanted the physician to spend more time with the patient and for them to connect again.
Excellent. And I know standardized workflows, especially as we move more and more down value-based care and bundled payment arrangements and all of that, one of the biggest challenges people have from a success standpoint is the variations in care by different physicians, right? So you just keep building on and preparing for the future. So if I had to say final thoughts for our audience today, Dr. D, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts?
I think that it's an ongoing process. You know, there are always changes to regulatory requirements, reporting requirements. We have to try to be as nimble as we can in our, you know, EMR systems and how we document. And so I think it's a constant project that we're going to keep working at going forward for many, many years. I mean, what we're going to have to report on is going to change, you know, the different ways in which we communicate with our patients are going to change. And so I think that we need to see it as an ongoing thing that we're going to be doing for many, many years. And we can only improve. I think that, you know, when originally EMR systems were brought out and all this technology was brought out, it wasn't focused necessarily on physician documentation and ease of documentation. And I think that we need to start looking at that more and more and more and standardized process. And again, it's going to be for many years. We just got to keep working hard at it.
And I think that's an interesting point. You know, we've referred to it as a project or initiative. It really just becomes part of what you're always doing. Because to your point, there's new programs that come out. There's new software that comes out, right? There's updates. There's new clinicians. There's new care pathways. Organizations should really look at it as this is part of what it takes to provide good care and be financially viable in a value-based care world, as opposed to, hey, we're going to 9 months, we're done with this, and then we can move on with our lives. I think that's a really important point to take home. And Cecilia?
I would say for us, we wouldn't have been successful if it wasn't the partnership with the vendor. I think a lot of organizations may shy away from that or be scared of that. But I think our approach, Dr. D'Ambrosio and I met multiple times with the vendors to explain to them the importance of what we were looking to do. And once we were able to, you know, project and show our vision and what we were trying to achieve, you know, that partnership really helped us achieve that. I mean, again, there was challenges we all had, but once we sat them down in a room and explained it, we were able to overcome each one of the challenges and having an open line of communication with them. I think the other thing for us, and I've seen it in other organizations, is you always need physician buy-in. And in order to get physician buy-in, you need that physician champion. And for us, it was Dr. D. He was the physician champion that went with the clinical and non-clinical team in vendors meeting with other specialties and other providers internally and externally to explain the importance of that. And I think those are the two components that made us very successful in our standardization.
Thank you. And that actually leads me to a new question for Dr. D. Just curious about your experience being that physician champion and interacting with your peers. Were you viewed as the hero, well, we can go GOAT, but sometimes that means greatest of all time, which I'm sure you're that also. But what was the reaction of you being the messenger and carrying the torch?
I think that really depended on the physician I was dealing with. Sometimes it's well received, sometimes it's not received. I mean, change is what it is, and some people are not great at change. But I do think that from a physician perspective, that the clinicians in the practice do appreciate when another provider is the one that, you know, shows up, asks questions, tries to help them.
Right.
I mean, I've gone around the practice and done training myself, you know, which I still do today in my primary care offices. You know, I'm going around looking at their workflow, trying to help them. And I think that is appreciated. But again, change is hard, and you'll always have people that are resistant to change. But it's our job to help them along, help to inspire people to do better at what they do every day. And at the end of the day, you know, our intent is to really help take some of the burden off of them and do a better job of what, we do in our offices. So, you know, again, person dependent, and it's challenging, but you keep plugging along.
And he still sees patients and use the EMR, so
it's quite a workload. Yeah, it's quite a workload, and you're right, if it's somebody going through the same thing, right, standing in their shoes per se, it feels a little better. Well, thank you both so much. This has been a great conversation. Thanks to our audience for tuning in. You can learn more about the show on the program's page of healthcarenowradio.com and lend your voice to the conversation on Twitter at #VoicesInVBC, and be sure to follow SPH on Twitter at SPH Analytics. I'm Matt Fusen, bringing you the voices in value-based care you should hear. Till next time, have a great week, and thank you again to both of our guests.